Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Ethan Sewer.
And my name is Evan Sandin.
We have a variety of announcements about church life and activities. The Green Sanctuary Committee will meet today at 11:45 in the middle school classroom. Main topic will be planning for the June 27th Heartland Hometown Parade. Anyone interested in helping plan this event is most welcome. Please note the worship committee survey in the order of service. Be sure to look at any other announcements that are in the order of service. We invite you to greet those sitting around you. Give it some time, really means it. If you are a visitor, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interests you.
Our board rep today is Liz Kremmel. Liz, will you please stand up? Liz will be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. Or if you have been visiting for a while and would like information about becoming a member, she would be happy to talk to you about that as well. If you are visiting with your children, today is a special service highlighting the children and youth of this congregation. Children will remain in the service and will not go to religious education classes. Our nursery is available for younger children and is located just out the doors to my right and across the entryway. If there are any visitors who are comfortable introducing themselves, you are invited to stand up and do so now if you would like. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. We hope you enjoy this morning service.
Clear. opening words are from Unitarian Alexander Graham Bell. Leave the beaten track occasionally and dive into the woods. Every time you do so, you will be certain to find something that you have never seen before. Follow it up, explore all around it, and before you know it, you will have something worth thinking about. All really big discoveries are the results of thought.
Our chalice lighting words are from Unitarian Universalist religious educator Beth Casebolt. The light of this chalice reminds us that it is a symbol of all the world's religions. This small light shines as do the fires burn to ward off the darkness and welcome back the sun in Native American faiths, as do the Jewish Sabbath candles and the Christian altar candles, as do the oil lamps of the Hindu Diwali and the candles of Buddhism. And it is a symbol of the light inside of each of us, as recognized by Muslims. It is a symbol of the sun and evolution, as studied by humanists. As we light this chalice, may we be reminded that this light is a symbol that ties us to many faiths, beliefs, traditions, and customs, from which we can learn and enrich our lives.
And now please join in singing hymn number 354, We Laugh, We Cry, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Carrie Duma. I'm the Director of Religious Education, and this is my favorite service. Well, maybe not. This is my favorite service of the year because we get to hear from our kids, and they did a wonderful job with all the opening stuff. So thanks for everybody who volunteered to be a part of this service today. A few weeks ago, we were treated to hearing our two graduating seniors sharing their faith statements. They talked about what has shaped their beliefs and how this church community has influenced their ideas and ways of seeing the world. They shared their views on spirituality and what religion means to them. It is always an inspiring service that calls us to reflect on our own beliefs. In that service, we also heard a bit from the rest of the high schoolers, who described the process they went through this year, exploring their thoughts and feelings about their life journey and identifying and articulating their core beliefs and values. Today, on RE Sunday, we have the privilege of hearing from the rest of our children about what goes on in their religious education classes on Sunday mornings. The children will share a bit about their curriculums and what they studied and learned this year. But of course, they learned so much more than just what was in their RE lessons. All year long, our children have been learning from each other and from all of us. You see, we are a community, and this church is a place of love and acceptance. It is here that we can be ourselves. We can open ourselves up to share our deepest joys and concerns and know that there are people here who care about us and about our feelings and accept us for who we are. Here we learn not only about our purposes and principles, we pass on our traditions and our rituals, and we share our stories. All of this is religious education. It's not just what happens in the RE classrooms. It's what happens all the time, for all of us, of any age. A religious or spiritual experience is one that moves us on an emotional level. And this doesn't just happen on Sunday mornings. Religious education happens whenever we connect with another person, when we give them our attention and are fully present to them. It is found in the simple acts that bind us closer together. When we take the time to talk to someone who we know is going through a tough time, or share their joy and excitement about something special happening in their lives. It happens when we look out for the new people who enter our doors and make them feel welcome. It happens when our adults and children work together to clean up a lake, or a stretch of road, or after a rummage sale. It happens when our youth decide to throw a coffee house to raise money for a homeless shelter and support each other to make it happen, even when some would doubt their ability to pull it off. It happens not only when our children go on field trips to learn about other religions, but when they come back and listen to each other's perceptions of that experience and accept all the different ways of seeing things. I could go on giving examples of times when we experience a connection, when we experience religious education, but I know you understand what I'm saying. The most potent curriculum is the lessons in life that we teach each other when we give of ourselves to another. We are all a community, growing and learning together, bonded on an emotional level with love and acceptance, recognizing the worth and dignity of each of us and grateful for each other. So let us celebrate our good fortune to be a part of this loving community as we look forward to hearing from our children and youth today. So now we're going to have Sammy come up and read us our offertory words.
A famous Hindu proverb says, "Help your brother's boat across, and your own will reach the shore." We will now take time in the offertory to help sustain the work of this church.
Today we will light two candles. The first one represents the joys we have in our hearts. Second is for the concerns that are in our minds and hearts today.
One of the religions we studied this year in middle school RE was Buddhism. Paul Norton from the Mindfulness Center came to our classroom and shared how we can all be more mindful in our everyday life. He taught us a meditation called Pebble Meditation, where we were each given a small embroidered bag. When we got home, we could find four items or pebbles that represent the four parts of the meditation and are meaningful to us. We like this meditation because it's simple and quick, and you can bring the bag with you and do it anywhere. Holding the pebbles helps to focus during the meditation, but you don't have to have them to do it. Please sit comfortably and relax, and we will share with you the pebble meditation.
Breathe in, I see myself as a flower. Breathe out, I feel fresh. In, flower. Out, fresh. You are already a flower. You are made of the same elements as a flower, the water, the earth, the sunshine. Just a flower can sit still and bloom. You can always decide to be a fresh flower. Breathe in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathe out, I feel solid. In, mountain. Out, solid. You are always connected to the earth. Your feet are always planted on the ground. Mother Earth is always ready to care for you and your family and your friends. Breathe in, I see myself as still water. Breathe out, I calmly reflect all the things around me. In, water. Out, reflecting. Like a clear pond, we know when we are calm that we are accurately reflect all that is around us like a mirror. When we are choppy, we are less clear. Water is the source of our existence. By realizing our water nature, we can see the beauty that surrounds us. Breathe in, I see myself as space. Breathe out, I feel free. In, space. Out, free. We are part of a great and glorious universe. Science tells us we are connected to everything.
Thank you, girls. At this point in the service, we'll be inviting each classroom to come up to do a short presentation. Our first classroom is our kindergarten to second grade class. They were taught this year by teams of two teachers, Jesse Knox and Amy C., Kim Soor and Janica Yoder, and Jim and Janice Tyler. The curriculum used was Experiences with the Web of Life, which involves children with the UU principle of respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. To do so, the kids went outside almost every Sunday, and we'll hear a bit about it from them now.
Thank you. to get started with RE class, we take the light, as you know, from here and into our classrooms. Then we light a candle, and we have a chalice lighting song that we like to sing that has some motions, too. So, thanks. You guys ready to help me out? Okay. And you guys can help, too, if you figure these motions out right away. So, we light this chalice to celebrate. We are Unitarians. We light this chalice to celebrate. We are Universalists. We are the Church of the Open Mind. We are the Church of the Loving Heart. We are the Church of the Helping Hands. We're UUs.
We had 6 goals with our curriculum: to develop awareness of the interdependence of living things and each child's place within the web of life, to encourage children's natural sense of wonder and awe, to gain awareness of and comfort with change and growth as characteristics of living things, to develop respect for all living things, to form a desire to protect the environment, and simply to enjoy nature. Of course, like Carrie said, the only way we could reach these goals was to take the kids outside. We were able to do that almost every Sunday. We'd like you to meet some of the kids now as they help us show you what we enjoy doing together this year in RE.
One of the things that we did was when we were learning about growing things, if you notice when you come in the church, there's rows on either side of petunias. And our class planted those petunias. Caleb, do you want to talk about that a little? Did you have fun?
No, we're doing this.
Thank you. Thank you, Caleb.
Shelby is holding a water filter. We learned about the importance of clean water both for humans and for our environment. And so we went outside and filled some glasses with some dirt and some dirty water and some dirty snow, and we used the water filter to turn it into clean, drinkable water. It was almost like magic, so we enjoyed that very much.
We also learned about birds, and one of the things that the kids did when they were learning about birds was to make bird socks, which you hang on trees, and the birds can come and take what's in the bird sock and use it to make nests. Oh, we also learned about squirrels, which was one of my favorite classes. Do you want to make the squirrel make the noise? And we learned where squirrels lived. We took a hike around the church and looked for squirrels' nests. Unfortunately, there are no squirrels' nests around the UU church. I'm not sure what's up with that. But each of those classes was a lot of fun.
And here's Reagan. And we're going to we wanted to talk about Reagan because we learned about pets and animals and the importance of caring for animals. And Reagan was nice enough to bring in her pets. You want to tell us what those? Can you tell us what those pets were?
They were rats.
And what was their name?
Mac and Cheese.
So she brought in her pets Mac and Cheese, and the children really enjoyed that. Miles is up here. He joined us, and does he want to hold something, or should we just talk about? That's okay. Another thing that was really cool. We talked a lot about some different insects and bugs, and we made. Everybody made a book called Spiders Are Cool with facts and things that we liked about spiders. And another time, actually a couple of times, the kids went out with nets and swiped through the grass and then dumped their swipings out onto a sheet. And they were amazed at how many different types of small creatures are living out there that we don't usually pay attention to.
As you can see, we had the pleasure of spending time with children who are imaginative, curious, smart, fun, and entertaining. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Now our third to fifth grade class will come up. This active group explored a new curriculum this year called Spirit of Adventure, which teaches UU Identity using the themes of sports, medicine, food, science, building, exploring, and the web of life. They were taught by three lead teachers, Amy Johnson Anifris and Lisa Thorstenson, and three assistant teachers, Helen Barra, Dave Johnson, and Sue Lewis. Thank you.
we learned, well, that time we learned about, how each person should get their say. And so we learned by going outside, and we played a game of soccer. And we tried to all be team members. And we learned from our coaches, and we learned that all people have a role.
We learned about Elizabeth Blackwell, who was the first woman physician, and learned about Sarah Barton, the founder of Red Cross.
P.T. Burnham worked at a circus. He made magic tricks, but they're really illusions that everyone thought were real. It taught us that to look deeper into what you see, and it, everything you see may not be what it seems.
Okay, that was poor search for what is true. Okay. Help each other learn. That's over here.
Okay,
it's on fire.
We learned about M.C. Wyeth. He was a UU in the illustrator for Treasure Island. We looked for treasure using our own treasure maps, which showed us that we help each other learn.
We tried different kinds of seafood. Some made it all. Some of us did like it. Some did not. That is okay, but you need to try.
We tried tuna, oysters, crab, pickled herring, and a salmon.
Salmon.
We made stone soup. We read the story. It's about sharing and being compassionate. Don't hog your food. Don't be afraid. You are not going to have enough.
We did a fundraiser and made and sold popcorn and donated the money to Hawes. We also talked about Henry Berg, the founder of ASPCA, the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and we made dog treats.
Worthwhile to be kind in all you do. Three, we help each other learn. Four, and search for what is true. Five, all people have a say. Six, work for a peaceful world. Seven, the web of life's the way that will bring us back to me and you.
Thanks, Sarah and Alexis. So now we get to hear from our middle schoolers. They're very excited to share with us some of what they have experienced this year as they've explored neighboring faiths. It's a tradition in our church for our middle schoolers to spend a year learning about the faith, traditions, and practices of other religious groups in our community. The goals of this program are for the youth to participate personally in the faith traditions of others, to reflect on the unique and universal of religious experience, explore their own values as they relate to other faith traditions, and become more aware of the many connections between Unitarian Universalism and other faith traditions, to strengthen their commitment to our UU faith and community and increase their understanding and appreciation of religious diversity as they build relationships with peers and adults in our congregation. I believe this program met these goals. The commitment to the program was strong. On Sunday mornings, there were many kids here, and on the field trips, almost all the kids made it to almost all the field trips. So I thank and congratulate the parents for all the hard work to get the kids everywhere they had to be. And this group had some great teachers this year, Dave Cicero, Kristen Sandin, and Phil Smith, who's not here today. They gave a lot of their time and energy to help make it such a successful year for our middle schoolers. So let's have them come up, and we'll hear from them.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Cicero, and Kristen and Phil and I were very privileged to spend the year with our middle school students. As you know, middle schoolers always have a lot to say, and so it was always wonderful preparing for our field trips and coming back and hearing their feedback. This is a curriculum that I know many families really look forward to being a part of. So we studied and learned about many different religions, namely Judaism, Orthodox Christianity, like Greek Orthodox and Roman Catholicism, Protestant Christian faiths, humanism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and even we learned about the Baha'i faith. And so what we're going to share with you today, we're going to take a little trip down memory lane.
So what did you guys think about the neighboring faiths curriculum we did for RE this year? Did you like going on all the field trips to the different churches, synagogues, and temples?
It was pretty cool. It's nice to be back in our church, though, where I can wear jeans again.
And I used to think our services were long, but sitting like that for 2 hours in the Buddhist temple? That was horrid.
I liked it when they had food. Like in that, that chalal bread in the synagogue, it was so lucky that we went to the Catholic church on Donut Sunday.
Yeah, it was fun going to DeBevick's in Chicago, too. Remember when that waiter pretended he was spilling a tray of sodas on Mr. Cicero? That was hilarious.
Seriously, guys, the curriculum is supposed to let you experience different religions so that you understand why religions believe what they do. The hope is that it would help us all be more accepting of other beliefs and maybe even find something interesting or meaningful for your own spiritual journey in all of these religions.
Well, yeah, I guess I kind of did that too. A lot of my friends are Christians, so I get what they believe now.
I thought seeing that old Torah was kind of cool. I might want to be Jewish when I grow up. Or maybe a Buddhist. Or maybe a humanist. Can I be all three?
If you decide to be a UU when you grow up, you can look for inspiration in all the world's religions and philosophies. Let's think back and try to remember some of the other things we've experienced this year. Our first trip was to the Jewish synagogue in Waukesha.
Give them one of the mics.
The Torah explains how we Jews should live our lives. For example, how we should honor the Sabbath and keep kosher.
Yes, on the Sabbath we must not drive or even turn on the light. Those things constitute work, and the Sabbath must be a day of rest. This is what our holy book says.
But Reformed Jews believe that those strict rules don't have to be followed exactly, as long as you remember to keep the Sabbath holy, attend synagogue, and live a good life.
And what do you think about keeping kosher?
Well, I think that all this talk is making me hungry. I could go for a cheeseburger right about now.
That's preposterous. You know you can't mix dairy and meat. They need to be served on separate plates, even.
I'm glad we can have this kind of discussion. It's through this kind of healthy debate that we can arrive at a better understanding of our holy scriptures and what being Jewish really means.
Then we went to a Catholic church and a Lutheran church.
I remember the different crosses. In the Catholic church, they had Jesus hanging on the cross. In the Lutheran church, it was a cross decorated with fruit and vines. The Lutheran minister said that was because they focused more on not as much as Jesus' death, but rather his life and what he taught people to live.
Lord, give bread to the hungry, and hunger for justice to those who have bread.
Do you remember when we went to the Hindu temple?
Yeah, that was the one where we were looking at all the altars with different images of God, like the ones with the elephant trunk. And then someone rang the gong with a really loud bell and everyone jumped.
He said that was to get our attention, to remind us to be present in the moment.
Well, it worked. We should do that at our church. I bet some of the adults daydream during this service once in a while.
One of the main Hindu ideas is that to truly understand something, you must experience it first. One example is this. You go to school and learn about gravity. What do you think will happen when I drop this pair of scissors?
They fall to the floor, of course.
Exactly. But what if the next day you go into the hospital and are wheeled into an MRI machine, and while you're inside, the pair of scissors you forgot to take out of your pocket falls out?
It flies up to the top of the machine, I think.
Yes. Instead of falling down like your teacher told you they would, the MRI machine pulls them up and they stick to the side, thus proving your teacher wrong. To truly learn what happens when you drop something, you must experience it. If you're merely told, you may be getting a biased version of the truth.
I see all these smaller temples here, each one with a different statue in it. There's one here with an elephant head, one with several arms, and another one hanging out with a cow. Who are all these gods?
Actually, they are all different reincarnations of the same god, the Supreme Soul. Hinduism is actually a monotheistic religion. Believing that Hinduism is polytheistic is a very common misunderstanding.
Another field trip we took was to the Islamic Mosque in Milwaukee.
That was where we had to cover our heads.
I remember that they pray 5 times a day, and before they pray, they had to wash their hands and face and feet. Their religion was something they did every day, not just on the weekend.
So, Sarah, first you have to create an intent to perform wudu. This intent need only be in thought in the mind. In other words, you simply need to think about the reason you're going to perform wudu. You got that? Okay, so next it says to say Bismillah, which means in the name of Allah. Now wash your hands all the way to the wrist. Wash them 3 times. It says to wash your mouth out with water 3 times. Some Muslims prefer to gurgle the water as well. Do you really want to do that? Okay. Now wash your nose 3 times. Okay. Wash your entire face 3 times.
Now wash your right arm all the way up to the elbow 3 times. Then your left arm. Okay. Now with a little water on your hand, wash the forehead all the way to the back of the neck, making sure to run your fingers through your hair. Scoop around and behind the ears, cleaning them as well. It's only necessary to perform this step once. Do you want to do that? Okay. Wash your right foot all the way to the ankle 3 times. Make sure to run your fingers in between your toes. Repeat this step with the left foot. Now you're supposed to recite the Shahada, La ilaha illa Allah wa Muhammadan Rasul Allah.
La ilaha illa Allah wa Muhammadan Rasul Allah.
This means there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If you prefer, you may dry your body with a clean towel. This completes your partial ablution or wudu, and you are ready to pray or study the Quran.
We did see a lot of cool stuff.
And there was more, too. Remember humanism with Mr. Smith? And the trip to the Buddhist temple? And when Paul Norton and Reverend Jane came to our class?
And yoga with Miss Duma? That was cool.
I really liked that day that Miss Wagner came in and taught us about Native American traditions.
And then there was that trip to the UU Church and the Baha'i Temple in Chicago. I was so hungry by the time we got to Edvivics.
It's all about food for you guys.
Well, isn't that the point? In fact, we all brought food and some of the cultures of the religion we studied. Everyone is invited to the social hall after the service to share in the feast.
And so one of the things we found, most interesting about the religions is obviously, you know, middle schoolers, food was pretty central and pretty popular. But one of the last religions we learned about was the Baha'i faith, and we had a group of Baha'i practitioners come visit us, and they brought with them a feast to share with us, and that's why we're sharing one with you after the service today. And the Baha'i belief is to have a feast of the body, the mind, and the spirit. So part of the feast is the spiritual feast, which is the prayer portion of their worship, and then the feast of the mind, where a message is read from the national or international organization of Baha'i religion, and then finally a feast of the body, where food is shared and we get to eat. So please join us after the service.
That's great. Thanks for doing that, all that work, middle schoolers. Now we're going to sing hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine. And we're going to start off with Rhiannon. She's going to start and sing the first verse. And then we'd like you all to join in and sing after the first verse. So you can stay seated for this.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Building up a world, I'm gonna let it shine. Listening up a world, I'm gonna let it shine. Building up a world, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Thanks, Rhiannon. At this time, I'd like to thank you parents for bringing your children to church on Sunday mornings. We all know how busy life is, and it can be challenging to make church a priority, but for those who do make church a focal point on Sunday mornings, the rewards are many. As members of this community, your children know that they are a part of something meaningful and important. They know that they have a place where they can air their questions and talk about their ideas, where people value them and support them. We are enriched by their presence and involvement, and we hope to inspire them to be confident, compassionate, caring citizens of the world. Although everyone at LCUUC is important and everyone has a role to play in the work of this church, I would like to take some time now to thank and recognize the people who work with our children and youth. First of all, I've asked Alex Nelson-Zerzo to join us at this time. Many of you recognize Alex. She works in our nursery. Alex grew up in our church. I was one of her RE teachers in grade school and middle school. Come on up here. As Alex has worked in our nursery, she has provided a loving atmosphere for our babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. The children who go to our nursery love Alex, and they're going to miss her because she's graduating and going off to college. So I'd like Alex to tell us her plans for after graduation, and then I'll give her a gift from us, a chalice that says LCUUC as a thank you to her and a reminder of her UU home. So just tell us what you're doing next.
Hi, I am planning to go to Oshkosh, and I'm really excited. I put undecided, but I'm thinking something with psychology and Spanish, but it'll probably change a lot. So, yeah, that's my plan.
Well, thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
And this is for you.
Thank you very much.
Can we go on? Here's her beautiful chalice.
Oh, so, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, so now I'd like to briefly recognize the people involved in our RE program. To begin, I would like to thank and bring up the brave people who volunteered to teach our first offering of the 7th to 9th grade version of Our Whole Lives Sexuality Education Program. In the past, we've offered the 10th to 12th grade version of the program, but since we had such a large group of middle schoolers this year, we made the decision to offer this level. There was some trepidation on the part of some of delving into this material with the younger group, but these four people stepped up to the challenge of becoming trained facilitators and did a magnificent job. We had glowing reviews from both the participants and the parents about the program. So if the four people that talk could come up now, they were Carlin Wagner, Terry Copeland, well, I'm not sure if she's here. Are you here? Yeah, Terry's here. Paul Fackler, and Phil Smith, who's not here today. So please receive our warm thanks, and I have a small token of appreciation. Come on up for you, just to thank you for doing such a great job. So I'm going to be calling a lot of people up. Just come up and just stand up here, and Sue's going to give you a present. But thank you. Sure, go over there. Yeah. Well, I guess you don't have to. Go ahead. You can sit up. Each year we are blessed to have individuals who volunteer their time to be with our children in their RE classrooms. These RE teachers give up being able to be in the service about 10 times a year, but they get much back in return. Not only do they get a chance to know our amazing young people, but they also get to learn about our faith and see how our faith shapes our future generations. I know I echo the feelings of everyone here when I say thank you for giving of yourselves to our youngsters. You are greatly appreciated. So I'll just call you up as your name is called. Please come on up, and then if all the teachers could stand up here briefly, and then we'll clap after they're all up here. So first the kindergarten to second grade team, Amy C., Jesse Knox, Janica Yoder, Kim Sewer, and Jim and Janice Tyler. I don't think Janice is here, but Jim's here. And then our third to fifth grade team, Anna Friss, Amy Johnson, Lisa Thorstenson, Helen Barra, Sue Lewis, Dave Johnson, and I have a mistake here. I think that's everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep. Then our middle school team, Kristen Sandin, Dave Cicero, and Phil Smith, who's not here. And then our high school teachers, some of whom were camping with the high schoolers last night. Their group did their presentation a few weeks ago, but their teachers are Al Haskell, Mike Gorrell, Greg Valdi, and Liz Thompson. So these are all of our RE teachers. Let's give them a big round of applause. Thank you so much for giving of yourselves to all of us. Before you leave, I just want to also bring up a few people who did a few other important things. Barbara Howell, Anoush Coles, and Terry Fritz were our youth advisors this year for our high school group, if they could come up. I wanted to thank and recognize Patty Walker and Sally Pla, who were mentors for our graduating seniors. And then Teresa Spencer and Anne LaForce helped with our joint REs a couple times. And I also wanted to thank the OWL chaperones for the overnights, who were Dave Cicero, Greg Sandin, Tracy Tim, Carl Tim, John Stout, and Mary Fitzpatrick, and also thank Susan Stout for coordinating all the food for the OWL program. They don't have to. So the RE committee, too, I'd like to thank them for their guidance and support. Some of them are already up here, Helen Barra, Sue Lewis, and Dave Cicero, and also on this committee are Ginger Gorrell and Joanne Nelson. So you can see this large group of people that are involved in taking care of our large group of children. You know, we have an unusually large amount of children in our church, and people are very jealous. When I go to trainings and things, they're amazed and jealous at how many kids we have for the size of congregation that we have, and it's because of the work of all these wonderful people. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and you can go back to your seats now. I heard there were people that didn't come up, so you can get your candy after. I wanted to take some time now to mention Lynn Smith. Lynn Smith couldn't be here today, but I really feel that she needs to be recognized. She's coming off of the RE committee next year, having accepted the position of president of the church board for the second time. And I just have to point out how incredibly fortunate we have been to have Lynn leading our RE program for so many years. She taught for many, many years, and then she ran the RE program as a volunteer from 2001 to 2004, when we had as many as 60 children. She was instrumental in promoting the vision that a program as large as ours really needed a dedicated staff person, and she wrote the Chalice Lighters grant to help fund the position, and since then she has been the chairperson of the RE committee, always sharing her wise, thoughtful ideas and her exceptional organizational skills and offering her help wherever needed. In addition to serving on the RE committee, she has led our Senior Transitions Program, which is a wonderful program and a wonderful service. She even wrote a song for it that has become a treasured tradition at our Senior Transition Services. I know I couldn't have done this job without her, and I'm truly grateful for all she has done to foster this wonderful religious education program here. So in absentia, Lynn, we salute you, applaud you, and thank you. I know she'll probably listen to this later, so I thought we'd say that anyway. And then before we end the service, I would like to invite everyone here to take this opportunity to consider getting involved in our RE program. Or you can consider what other ways you'd like to be involved in the work of the church. We have our Sharing the Ministry thing going on in the social hall after the service today, and there's information on all the committees and work groups that exist to keep this church alive and growing. Please take some time to look at the various opportunities and consider getting involved in ways that feed you spiritually so that you can be a part of the religious education that's all around us. So now we'll hear a closing song from William Estey.
The one person who didn't get mentioned here today is actually Carrie Duma. And I would like to thank Carrie. When I'm here in the office, I don't get a lot of work done because Carrie's always like, Jane, what do you think of this idea? And what do you think of this idea? And what do you think of this idea? And I always thought, like, all you have to do is put a nickel into Carrie and all these ideas come out, but you don't even have to do that. So she's really wonderful, and her energy is extraordinary. So I think we should thank her.
Thank you, thank you. Sit down, sit down. Jane should get a lot of recognition too, but that'll be a different service.
Okay, if you can all hear me, clap once. If you can all see me, clap twice. Good. Can I get an F? Okay. Okay, everybody, let's see. Everybody on this side of the room, can you stomp your feet like this? Now, everybody on this side of the room, during that space between the two stomps, can you just clap once? So, good. Now, I bet you all can guess what song I'm going to do. You can all join in on the choruses. If you know the lyrics, go keep going. If you all know the lyrics to the verses, go ahead and sing along.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Sing it, we will rock you. We will rock you. Okay, that's good. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street. Gonna take on the world someday. You got mud on your face. Big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. We will rock you.
Good.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes. Gonna make you some peace someday. You got mud on your face. Big disgrace, somebody better put you back into your place. We will rock you. We will rock you. Keep going. We will rock you. We will rock you. One more time. We will rock you.
Our closing words are from Rabbi Steve Adams of Congregation Emmanuel in Waukesha. As we count our days, we have the power to make every moment count. We can do this by learning from every experience, regardless of how great or how insignificant it may appear to be. Instead of allowing ourselves to waste days thinking of them as fillers between events, we should consider every day to be an opportunity to do something important. The psalmist wrote, "Teach us to number our days, that we may acquire a heart of wisdom." Celebrate life by living it to the fullest. Make each day count for something, and then you will surely grow in wisdom, understanding, and peace of mind.